South Africa's president is told to quit by his own party, and Iraq asks for billions of dollars to rebuild.
The estimated loss from the war is over $45 billion.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. The governing African National Congress in South Africa has formally demanded the resignation of the country's president, Jacob Zuma. There's been no official announcement, but reports say senior party figures made the decision after meeting for 13 hours. The ANC wants to replace the president with his deputy, Cyril Ramaphosa, but Mr. Zuma has refused to step down early. The BBC's Andrew Harding is in Johannesburg.
He has been ordered to quit, but will he? This morning, South Africa is waiting to hear from President Jacob Zuma after his party sent a late-night convoy to his home to tell him it was time to step down. There has been no word yet from the country's embattled leader, who legally could choose to ignore the ANC and take the matter to Parliament. It's understood that the ANC is now preparing for a vote of no confidence in the president. A motion by opposition parties is already in place. These are dramatic, anxious times for South Africa, as a leader engulfed by corruption scandals tries to cling on to power. It's being reported here that Mr. Zuma was demanding another 3 months in office, but that his successor, the new leader of the ANC, Cyril Ramaphosa, said no.
Andrew Harding, let's do the numbers. A mixed session in Asia gave way to a lower start for European shares. London's FTSE 100 is little changed after data showed inflation remained at 3% in January. Last week, the Bank of England said it expects inflation to fall as the impact from the pound's 2016 drop fades. Iraq says it needs billions of dollars to rebuild the country after years of conflict. Baghdad is asking for almost $90 billion at a donors' conference in Kuwait, which is being attended by the US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. The BBC's Hanan Razak is also there.
So far, there is $330 million that have been raised by civil society and non-governmental organizations. When we spoke to Iraqi officials at this end, they told us that the estimated loss from the war is over $45 billion, and Iraq actually needs over $88 billion to recover from the war and help rebuild the cities that have been liberated from the so-called Islamic State. Now, the question is how much they will actually get out of this conference, given that there have been reports that a country like the US, for example, might not pledge money for the reconstruction and instead it might focus on the investment opportunities in the private sector.
Is Iraq going to invite in more Western oil companies to try to help it to boost oil production to help fill up the treasury coffers?
They think that this is actually the way forward for the country, and they told us that they want to reassure the investors that the atmosphere now is suitable.
Is there any talk of diversifying the economy away from its reliance on producing oil?
Definitely, not just in Iraq, but also in the different Arab and Gulf countries that have been struggling with the economy after the oil prices dropped back in 2014. I think that's a trend now in the oil-producing countries in general.
Hanan Razak. Now, the Peace Diamond, one of the largest gems ever found in West Africa, was recently sold at auction for $6.5 million. So how is the poor village where it came from in Sierra Leone faring? The BBC's Ed Butler has been to find out.
I'm up in the village of Koyadu. This is a very poor community, but last year they uncovered a diamond the size of an infant's fist. It's sold now on the open market for some $6.5 million. The team of men who unearthed the Peace Diamond, as it's now known, were led by a local priest, Pastor Momo. Before leaving for the auction, he promised to spend his share of the money providing these very poor villagers with a long list of benefits.
He said they make the line for we because the line no good.
He says he will repair the road because it's no good. He'll give us better water, electricity, a hospital, develop the school.
Do you believe he will be able to deliver all of those things?
Yes, we believe he will do these things.
But as I asked around the village, not everyone was quite so confident. Youth leader Daniel, for one, He said that since taking the diamond away, the pastor hadn't been seen or heard from.
He made a lot of promise for this village. We had nothing from him yet.
Well, I've been told the pastor is now eventually on his way back to Sierra Leone, but how the spoils will be divided remains unclear. What is apparent, though, is that the hopes for development generally in this region have been routinely disappointed. In the nearby town, the government faithful are already hard at work trying to drum up enthusiasm for their candidate. Ahead of presidential elections next month, this divided region will be a key battleground. But local activist Joseph Ansumana says the politicians must first overcome considerable cynicism. People do not trust the big mine companies, and what taxes the government are collecting do not stay in the region.
People are really angry. The diamonds they have got, the percentage of that has gone to the government, but they are not paying a penny to the communities. The causes of the war have not been addressed. If the policy is well addressed, then people will benefit from the mining activities that is going on.
So it seems villagers like those in Koyadu can only sing and pray for better times to come. In Sierra Leone, I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
And finally, an unusual group of Italian voters is being courted. Free visits to a vet and subsidised animal adoption are being offered by dog-loving politician Silvio Berlusconi. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.